Good morning, I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday morning, and it is time to check in with our first guest this morning, Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist and regular guest here on His Time. Dr. Fiennes, welcome to His Time.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Well, it's a little cold up here, but the wind is blowing, but it is, I guess, winter, so we should be expecting that, you know?
Yeah, it's a little chilly here in the Midwest. Any snow on the ground there in central Illinois?
Yeah, but that's good because the more snow, a little snow, because the snow kills the viruses and the bacteria, which give us cold. So this is perfect, you know. And it's pretty for a while, you know.
I do appreciate a good winter. I don't know, though. I don't like it to linger too long. How about you? Are you a big fan of winter?
I love winter until March 1st. I can get 80 degrees.
Well, it's a new year. And lots of new things ahead of us. Might be some things, some regrets from the past, from last year or from previous years, or maybe struggling in relationships with someone who may have hurt us in the past. How do we deal with those relationships or our own mistakes in the past? Even if we have gone and confessed them or addressed the person, yet we still might hang on to them. How do we deal with those?
Well, unfortunately, the human being loves that stuff. The human brain, and in fact, it has a section in it called the amygdala. And the amygdala stores traumas and stores issues and stores problems. They go on. I think it's in there designed that way, I think, so that we don't make all the future mistakes. But humans, because of our sin, we focus on it so much that we tend to overdo it and never let the bad things go away. As humans, we can't do that alone. The thing is, like, for even in the simple New Year's resolutions that people came up with a couple of weeks ago, you know, what am I going to do differently? Like, lose weight, get along with Mabel, whatever, do better work. Implicit in there is this statement that I haven't done as well, I haven't done as good, I need to do better in the future. And that hangs around the person, because it just focus on our own inadequacy. And unfortunately, that's the human nature that's in us. We can't get away from looking back, looking down, being critical of ourselves, and being, you know, I guess you could say, being worrisome about our future. And that breaks relationship, it breaks feelings, and it makes us depressed, it makes us anxious. You can actually see that if you read the book of Joshua a little bit, and you read some of the books of the Old Testament. You can see that throughout even the Israelis, after they were saved from Egypt, they complained all the way across the wilderness. They were fearful of going to the Promised Land because they had all this great stuff coming up to them, but they kept complaining to God about how their situation in life was. As humans, it's hard for us to get away from that. As humans, we like to, without God, as humans, it's, you know, we can be told, read a self-help book, and we have millions of self-help books out there, millions of things. But the point is, humans themselves like to dwell on negativity. They like to dwell on what they did, their inadequacy. They like to dwell, and they like to dwell on what they have to do to get out of it. That's where the word penance comes from in some churches. That what can I do? What can I do to get myself out of this stuff and get myself feeling better? And the actual effect, the answer is you can't. There's nothing you can really do for penance or nothing to do to deal with your own inadequacies. It would be great if you could, but still, in that small moment of the night when it's dark and you're guilty and you feel quiet and you can't get away from it, it's still there. The only thing you do is have a buddy help take it away from you. And that buddy is the Lord. That buddy is Jesus. That buddy is God. And you throw it on him and let him. He's already solved the problems. He's already, as long as we give him the issue. And this is pretty well documented. I just taught a Bible class, actually, at Our Savior's here in Springfield. And I took people very carefully through some of the stuff in Romans 6, Romans 7, and then Romans 8. And if you follow those three chapters, and I would recommend if anybody, you know, is out there feeling a lot of guilt and feeling a lot of what did I do wrong and how to get rid of it, I think they can read those three chapters and realize that we're stumbling, and it says in Romans, we're stumbling in our own lives. We cannot keep from stumbling. We keep stumbling in relationships. We keep stumbling in guilt. We keep stumbling in our daily life, and instead of looking down and saying, oh boy, I'm a big stumbler, Romans 8 comes around and says, look, there's nothing you need to solve this, but I solved it for you. Follow me, let me handle it, let me deal with it, It's like Jesus says, throw your burdens on myself. My yoke is heavy, but I can carry your burdens. Let me give it to God. Give it to somebody else. Talk to him about it. Let him talk to you about the concept of a new life. A new life and a life of forgiveness. But let God solve your problems for you. Because if you dwell on yourself, you'll be depressed, you'll be anxious, you're going to be unreliable in getting it done. And there's alone, you can't do it on your own because you're human. As I said before, the human brain is wired to try to focus on nothing but inadequacy.
You mentioned earlier, there are thousands, millions of self-help books. You can go to any bookstore and find an entire section dedicated to self-help and dozens upon dozens of books on the shelves there. What's your advice when looking for help, trying to figure out how you need help with maybe a particular area of your life? What do you do when you go to the self-help section, or do you go to the self-help section?
Well, it's nice to go to self-help sections, except the only problem is notice what you just said. You said self-help. And the problem is once you read one of those books, there's dozens of them. I got lots of them, okay? But once you have read lots of them, what happens is if you got a lot of a sense of inadequacy inside yourself, then you'll read that, you'll feel really, really strong. Think it's going to be a great idea. And then all of a sudden you'll realize it's your own self helping yourself. And then you'll say, well, that self of me and self of myself, that's that self that's wicked, that's the same self that's been criticizing me for years, okay? And so what happens is if you realize eventually that the self that's criticizing you, you're using your own self to try to help yourself, and you realize that you stop right there. So if you're going to get one of those self-help books, I suggest you get the self-help book through guidance with somebody else as a pastor, spiritual leader, but they can talk to you and say, this is all good ideas to increase your self-concept, like McKay's book on self-concept or the Feeling Good book by a tremendous book out there. But the difference is you've got to link that back to scriptures. You've got to link that back to your belief system because you've got to link it back to a buddy. It all goes back to a partner. It goes back to somebody that isn't yourself. It goes back to somebody named God. It goes back to Jesus Christ. It goes back, quite frankly, to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is clearly designed in the New Testament and the Old Testament. He's the one that can come in your life and make your life new. And we sort of give him short shifts sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is the one that recreates, redevelops, and can actually walk you through issues, Romans 8 all over again, that basically can say, yeah, you're a mess, you're miserable, you've been stumbling like in Romans 6 and 7, but I am there that you can rely on me, and I'll take care of it. So what I'm saying is self-help books are okay, but eventually your own self will realize it is inadequate to handle it because it's the one that caused the problem to begin with. And then you have to say, oh, okay, what do? I rely on God, and I rely on some spiritual leader. David found it out when he wrote the Psalms. It's all over Isaiah. It's self-help books cannot help the self because the self's the one that started it.
What are you looking forward to in 2016? How do you look? How do you view this year? What's your worldview as you look forward to this 2016?
Well, yeah, again, I know I'm going to sound like I keep saying this. I'm joking, but I say the same thing. I can create a flowchart for you. And I can create all kinds of ideas, lose weight, conquer the world, be happy, make new friends, and, have all kinds of neat ideas for the future. The problem is I can't do that on my own without some certain directionality from God. And so what I tell people to do is when you do look at the future, first of all, come up with some good ideas you like to do with social relationships, family relationships, growth, whatever, personal health. But then incorporate that in your prayer life. Incorporate that in your worship life. Incorporate that in your spiritual life. And why not ask God to guide you where he wants you to go? Why not say, God, these are some ideas I have, boom, boom, boom. But what about the possibility of you take over and rely on him to sort of get you there? And if you incorporate him as if you will, in terms of being the great leader for you, just like Israel in the ancient days, and then he can lead you to the right place to go because he knows where you're going to end up anyway, okay? I mean, if you will, 2016 for us his new novel and future, 2016 Rim. He realized what 2016 was going to give us in, geez, I don't know, year two, year zero. You know, he had these plans. And so let your plans, like I said in Jeremiah, I have good plans for you. Rely on him. Bring in God in your court. And if you get the best New Year's resolution anybody can have, the best future prediction anybody can have, is say, God, I know you have plans for me. Let me follow those plans. These are the areas I like to go into. What would you like me to do? And let me make sure I don't go against what you perceive your plans to be for me.
Hmm.
We always tend to make resolutions and future directions focused on our own self. And it's great. And I'm not saying that if you want to lose 10 pounds or you want to, you know, develop a great relationship with somebody or you want to, you know, get a better job, that's fine. Why don't you ask God to help you get there? Why don't you say, okay, you're supposed to be my lead. You're supposed to be in charge of my life. What can I do to get here, or what can you do to help me get there? Okay, let him guide you. And if you do that, guess what? You tend to get there, depending on your plans, all right? You know, it's so funny because humans, especially Christians, humans are so good at talking about God, and focusing on God a lot, about as if it's a hobby. But God's going to be it's a participatory event. You've got to participate. He's not participating like choosing, but you've got to bring God into your life. You got to, as I said before, if you want to be forgiven for something, if you feel like your life's a disaster, then let God throw it on him. Let him handle it. That's what he tells us through the New Testament. Jesus tells all the time, let me handle it. And then give it to him then. And then when you want to change your life, be like he talked to St. Peter after the resurrection, let him go love others and let God handle it, and then God will guide you where he wants you to go. He always will guide you if you open your mind up and you follow him. He's always there because he knows this world's a mess. He lived it. He got to realize something that most people don't focus on a lot. Jesus Christ lived in this earth. Jesus Christ saw all the troubles we could have. Jesus Christ saw all the issues, all the disappointments, all the frustrations, all the issues. So he lived it. So ask him to help you live it and get away from the issues and aim for the future.
You're right. He most certainly did live it, came in the flesh. That's what we just celebrated at Christmas, the great waiting of Advent and the celebration of Christmas. God made flesh and took on our own human experience, our sinfulness, faced our lived among our sinful flesh, and as we'll see as the church year progresses, how that turns out, we certainly know where that all ends, making the great sacrifice for us, so that we can look forward to this year with and every year with peace and joy. That doesn't mean that there won't be earthly troubles, but we know how the story ends for all of us.
If you notice, Jesus' life is full of troubles, okay? I mean, he was rejected by his own people. He went to the temple when he was a young kid. The people couldn't understand who he was. He couldn't think, who is this kid? He had to leave to Egypt at one point because it was Herod chasing him. He had all kinds of rejected by his people at Nazareth, almost stoned a couple of times. He had all kinds of issues. But the point is, he lived it. So he knows that's what's going to happen to us. And so he knows when you go home and you pray at night and say, nobody likes me, I've been rejected by my friends, I can't get along with my boss, you know, blah, blah, whatever it is, he knows it. But don't you try to figure it out on your own. What you need to do is say, okay, you lived it, God, help me deal with it myself. And since you made it, guide me. You be the one that takes charge of my life. Just like that star, you know, the Epiphany star, just like that star led those people to Bethlehem, let me follow your star to my future. Don't try to figure it out. Don't get your own Rand McNally map because you end up in Albania. Follow God's own star to your destiny or your future based on him.
Thanks, Dr. Fiennes. Always great to talk with you. God's blessings on this 2016 for you.
God's blessings on you, and rely on Jesus and he'll get you there.
Thanks so much. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Needham from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Thermopolis, Wyoming. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.